Welcome to Vibrant, a storytelling series about coffee and hospitality. This episode features Sean Askenosi with insights from the bean-to-bar chocolate industry. Sean is the CEO and founder of Askenosi Chocolate, which he established back in 2007, really at the forefront of the American craft chocolate revolution. Askenosi is known in the specialty food industry for crafting exceptional small-batch single-origin chocolate, which they make from bean to bar, and they uniquely source all of their cocoa beans directly from farmers across four continents and profit share with farmers. Here's Sean with his hospitality story.
I've been buying cocoa beans to make chocolate for about 11 years, and I travel to these places every year, meet with farmers and their families and their small cooperative groups and inspect crops. And this next week, I'm going to the Philippines, and it'll be, I think it's my 33rd origin trip. And that may not sound like a lot, but it feels like a lot when I do that. And last year, I think it was last year, I went to Tanzania, have been going there for 7 years, and on every one of these trips, I profit share with farmers, and we open our books to them, and we bring money with us to give them on top of the premium price we've already paid for their cocoa beans, and we bring our books to them in the language that they need. So when I was in Tanzania, it was in Swahili, and I've wondered all of these years, does it really matter? Do the farmers really care? Do they care on another level besides just the business idea of it? And I knew that, you know, sort of the outward signs of, you know, congratulations and a pat on the back or we appreciate this money. But I never really knew until 2 years ago. We were in Tanzania, and at the end of every trip there, we have a party on the beach with the farmers. And it's a celebration, and they roast a goat, and we just have a good time on the beach. And at the end of the celebration, one of the elders in the village and of the cooperative, his name is Mr. Livingston, his wife is pictured on the front of our bar, Mama Mpoki, she's the chair of the group. He took me aside, and he had something that he wanted to give me, and he gave me a bracelet. And it was a tribal bracelet that had been given to him by his father, which was given to him by his father. So this tribal bracelet was probably over 100 years old. And he gave it to me and handed it to me and said that he wanted me to have it because it was a representation of our friendship and how he felt about me. And I'm certain that that thing was his most treasured item. And he wanted me to have it. And I was just speechless, which doesn't happen very often. And I really didn't even know what to say. I was so moved by it. And of course I thanked him and expressed, you know, how I felt about him. And I have that. I keep it at home near my desk at home so that I can see it whenever I'm working at home. And it's a worn bracelet. You can tell that it's been used. And it is now one of my most treasured possessions because of what it represents. And it represents friendship. It represents relationship. And it represents something much deeper than a cocoa bean or a chocolate bar. And it represents something that will transcend customers or shipping containers or chocolate factories. And when I say that, what I mean is that when I'm finished with chocolate, whatever decade that is, or when I'm old and can't remember very many things, I know that I'm not going to forget that. I know that I'll be able to look at that bracelet and I'll be able to remember what it represents and how it makes me feel as a human being. And I think that that occasion is possibly one of the most meaningful encounters that I've had, not just since I've been in the chocolate business, but since I've been in any business. And I'm 55 years old, and I have to say it was one of the most meaningful experiences of my life. And that's Mr. Livingston, who gave me his grandfather's bracelet.
Sean, thank you for sharing that story. Through Askanosy Chocolate, you've really opened up opportunities for hospitality to flourish. And I wonder, in addition to this experience with Mr. Livingston, who has helped shape your hospitality perspective, and how has their influence manifested itself within your business?
Well, one of the people who has really had a great influence from the beginning on the way we do business, I would say, is Jeff Watts from Intelligentsia, who in many ways was the pioneer of direct trade coffee. When I was very early beginning how to sort of take the concept of direct trade and turn it into practical things like a contract and transparency and putting the contract in their language, and all of those things came from Jeff Watts very early on. So this is, you know, 10 years ago. And he was very kind to me and was willing to put up with questions that maybe were very basic. And he had a really big influence, and not just in contracting and things like that, but also in how to respond, for example, when the farmers' beans that they ship us are defective, which you know, is just a practical example of sometimes things happen that are not good. So I didn't always ask Jeff's advice for when things were great or how, but also when things weren't great. How do I respond? What's the best way? And of course, he was kind in giving me advice. I would say he's one person. The other person would be Jack Stack, who is really the father figure of open book management in this country and wrote several books on it. The Great Game of Business and Stake in the Outcome are two books that come to mind. And he has been a mentor of mine over the years. And while I was a practicing criminal defense lawyer, I also practiced open book management and learned it from Jack Stack. So he's had, I would say, a major influence in how I treat suppliers and employees and customers, that is, transparently. And of course, with employees and farmers, we share the numbers and we keep score, if you will, using finance. And that's how we end up sharing profits with farmers. And so Jack has been and remains a mentor to me and a heavy influence on how we do business. And then the final person I would say would be Ari Weinzweig, the co-founder of Zingerman's Deli, who's written many books on customer service and open book finance. And he remains a mentor of mine and has been for 10 years. And I would say those people are the ones who've really had a big influence in my business and in my life.
I'm wondering if you could identify any specific guiding principles that you use to create a culture of hospitality at Askanosy, both internally and externally through the relationships that you have.
One of the first things that we did when we could is, and remember, we're a very small company, we're with only 16 people full time. That includes chocolate makers and administrative staff. But one of the people who works with us, Missy Gellner, is our chief kinship officer. And kinship is a very important word to me, which, like the word you used, hospitality, and I think in many ways they're a very similar word and can be in some ways interchanged. So kinship is very, very important to us internally and externally. So it's Missy's job to see that that notion of kinship is integrated throughout the company, up and down, sideways, and so who we do business with, whether it's customers, wholesale customers, or farmers, or our neighborhood, for example, And so she's the executive director of our Chocolate University program, which is just a project internally in our company, not a separate entity. And then she also makes sure that employees are, that they have opportunities to express their view of kinship, both with each other. For example, we have an employee right now whose spouse is suffering from a very serious cancer diagnosis, and Missy helped coordinate meals. So everybody in the factory that wants to is signing up to make food for our fellow employee and their family. That's just one example. But another is we have employees who want to teach some classes at a local middle school a couple of miles from the factory. And we want to integrate them to have that opportunity of kinship with neighborhood students. And so I think that this idea of kinship and hospitality is important, that it and that it not just be the CEO and founder, me, involved in those things, and everybody else who works for the company without opportunity to express those gifts of kinship and hospitality. And really, as opposed to guiding principles, I think the most important guiding principle is that we look daily for opportunities for everyone in the company to express their vision of kinship and hospitality. And of course, it ripples out to everyone that we work with and do business with, and with farmers and our neighbors and neighborhood children and students. And I would say that that idea of kinship and mutuality are the most important, not just words, but concepts that guide our company in such an important fashion that if you were to make the exact same chocolate bar using the exact recipe with the same beans, but you separated our ideas of kinship and hospitality from the chocolate bar, it would not be the same chocolate bar. That is, the vocational work that we do in hospitality and kinship and mutuality are so connected to the final product that without them, the final product is not the same. We're not the same company, and it isn't the same chocolate bar. And that's not just, you know, woo-woo new age stuff. It's the truth. Because, and I'll probably mess this quote up, but one of my favorite poet philosophers, Khalil Gibran, said that to bake bread with indifference is to bake a bitter bread that feeds but half a man's hunger. And I believe that's true. And what he's saying is that if you bake bread and don't care about it, it's not going to taste the same, because it isn't the same. And that is absolutely intertwined and tied up and integral to who we are as a company.
At Askinosi, you say it's not about the chocolate, it's about the chocolate. Would you explain that further?
It's not about the chocolate, it's about the chocolate. And what I mean by that is that, kind of like what I was saying, that what we do is 100% about the chocolate. Right now, we're roasting cocoa beans in the factory, and we're doing that very carefully with great concern for quality, continually tasting our products, entering our product in competitions around the world, because we want the taste to be perfect. We want someone to spend $8, $9, $10 for the chocolate bar and to believe that it's a value and that it tastes great and it is pleasing and something that not only pleasing to them, but that they want to share with their friends and family and buy it again. And so it is all about the chocolate. But on the other hand, it's not about the chocolate. The ability for us right now, we're feeding 2,600 kids a day between Tanzania and the Philippines with no donations. And we take that sort of sustainable lunch program that we started and fund very, very seriously. And we have similar community development projects in Tanzania besides nutrition programs where, for instance, we started an Empowered Girls program in Tanzania that we didn't found, but we fund it and staff it. But we did found and now fund and staff an Enlightened Boys program that is a corollary to the Empowered Girls program. And we have about, gosh, I think we have 600 boys and girls in these programs. And we have a full-time staff member that is a Tanzanian young lady who lives in the village and works there for us. None of that has anything to do with cocoa beans. It has to do with Serafina, that's her name, as an extension of our company that is expressing kinship and mutuality on our behalf with these young students in remote rural Tanzania to give them a chance to express their own vision of their future and hope for the future. That is not about chocolate. So what I'm saying is that these things are so intertwined, they're so tied up with each other, that you separate one of these things from our company and our product, then it's not the same. It's not the same company, and it's not the same tasting chocolate bar. And what that is, sort of in a philosophical sense, is non-dualism. It's non-dualistic thinking, and which is not super common in the West, but it is in the East. And that is what we subscribe to. So what I mean further by that is, in traditional corporate America, we tend to silo and separate the functions of the company that are, let's say, charitable or philanthropic, or even what some people call social business. Those often tend to be siloed. And what I'm saying is that those need to be unbound and wrapped up with each other, so that there's not this sort of compartmentalized thinking about what is charitable, what is philanthropic, what is our duty as workers in our company, as owners of our companies, what is our duty, what is our responsibility to our fellow man, and how does that then express itself both in our products and how we treat the people who work with us and who work with us and for us, and all of those things are wrapped up in that concept that it's not about the chocolate, it's about the chocolate.
That was Sean Askenosi. My name is Mallory Light. Our music was written and recorded by Kevin Cott, who happens to be a chocolate maker for Askenosi. To learn more about Sean and Askenosi Chocolate, visit askenosi.com and hear other hospitality stories, subscribe on iTunes, or visit vibrantpodcast.com.